As we've journeyed through this book of the Bible, the book of Galatians, we definitely, every week that we've looked at it, I don't even know how many weeks it's taken, but we have seen definitely one word, and that is the word grace. It is all through the book of Galatians, and it is necessary. It is necessary, number one, for us to even be saved. You think about grace this afternoon, and I'm sure you've heard, and we've heard some definitions of grace, and grace is receiving what we do not deserve. None of us here deserve to be saved, but by God's grace, we can be saved, and we thank God for that. But salvation is, yes, the beginning of grace, but it is not the end of grace. Life must be lived as well by grace. We don't live our life in the way of keeping the law. We live our life in the same way that we got saved, by grace. It works hand in hand. The law could not save and the law could not keep. As we look at these closing verses of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul penning them, we see first off his spirit of grace toward the believers, the Galatian believers. And not only that, we also are reminded of God's wonderful grace to us. And so I'm grateful that we've had this journey, and as we conclude it today, I trust that it will greatly encourage you to continue to live your life by one word, and that is grace, the grace of God. Let's look at the outline here today and make application as the Lord helps us through it. Number one, we'll see in verse 16 the condition for peace. The condition for peace. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. I don't know what the survey would be, and I don't know what it would say, but I would think that there are many people in the world today that are missing peace. There are many people in the world today that are living a life that is filled with turmoil, living a life of stress. That would probably be a lot of us here, right? Living a life of sometimes of great anxiety that can come. And no one in here is immune to any of those things. They can come to each and every one of us. And what we're in need of is, we're in need of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. What we're in need of is, as we live our life, a level of peace that we can function in this world, bringing honor and glory to Him. And so we see that there are some conditions, though, regarding peace. Letter A, we see a walk of peace. A walk of peace. Notice in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. We can't expect God to just miraculously give us peace when we're not walking in the way that He wants us to walk. I can guarantee you how not to have peace. Walk in it, walk against the principles of the Bible. You won't have any peace. Have a marriage that's not based on the Word of God. You won't have peace in your marriage. Have any relationship. Be in the family of God, and praise God for Anchor Baptist Church. Hard to believe we're finishing another year of ministry here in Burnaby, British Columbia. What a blessing it is to serve God. What a blessing it is to be a part of a local New Testament Bible preaching, and we hope Bible living church. That's what we want to be, right? We can preach it, but we better live it too. Our walk needs to talk, and our talk needs to talk. And I hope that our walk is pretty loudly talking that we want to live for God in 2019. But here we are, coming to the end of another year, I don't know what you do, but I still keep a paper calendar, and I'm just about ready to mark off the last 2 days of another year. I write all over that calendar. There's things written all over that thing. And you know what? God has been faithful to me in 2018. God has been faithful to you in 2018. God has been faithful to the Anchor Baptist Church in this 2018. But we can't say, God, how come I don't have any peace when we're never reading His Word? God, how come I don't have any peace when we only pray for our food and we barely do that? It's not going to happen. We're not going to have the peace of God. It's not a fruit at the market. It's a fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of really cool fruit that you can get at the market around here, isn't there? But one of them is not peace. You can get a piece of fruit, but you can't give peace. Amen? That just came to me. All right? I can't say stack chairs, but I can do that. Okay, there we go. God wants us to have peace, but there's a rule that we must follow. Notice that word walk. Walk. It means to proceed in a row, to go in order. Walking in relation to others and to an orderly life. Now you can imagine someone, you say, well, I can walk, but no, it's not just simply walking. It's walking in an orderly fashion. Hold your place there and turn over with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter number 3. It's just a few pages over. Philippians chapter number 3. A walk of peace. There's some conditions for peace. We've got to walk a certain way. We've got to live a certain way. And the Bible tells us here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. It is a walk of peace. It is a walk in relation to others and to an orderly life. It is a walk after someone who is living according to the Word of God. We can walk after a lot of people today that lead us away from the Word of God. Be very careful who you're walking after. Be very careful who you're reading after. Literally, be careful what you read. I mean, read God's Word. You don't have to be careful reading God's Word at all. God's Word will do the work that we need. But be careful the books that we read, and because we will tend to become like those people whom we read. And be very careful here. I believe we see here the Apostle Paul saying, follow me, and we've read that as well, as I follow Christ. Turn over a few more pages in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2, a walk of peace. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, where the Bible says there, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Again, we see the word walk, walking in him, walking in his word, walking in his will, walking in his path, walking in the way of the things of the Lord. We have some conditions for peace. Letter A, it is a walk of peace. The challenge is given to walk according to the gospel and not the Judaizers. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 6 and remember the whole summary here is kind of a battle in the way of the Judaizer and the way of the gospel. And that's not just for salvation. That's for how we're going to live our life day by day. It needs to be lived by grace. We need peace. For us today, we are to continue to walk according to the grace of God through the Word of God. And we must use great discernment as it relates to who we are walking after. I said that a moment ago, but I want to reiterate it. Great discernment of who we're walking after. We cannot add anything to our walk that is contrary to the Word of God. Or else we will not have peace. How much can we look at our life and find things that we've added to our walk? Okay, I'm not talking about literally going to the track over here and walking around it. I'm talking about the way we live our life. Is there something? Is there one item? Is there something that the Holy Spirit of God is revealing to you or has revealed to you and you're still having a struggle with it? Can I just encourage you? You're not going to have the peace that God wants you to have if you try to hold on to something contrary to the Word of God and continue to live a life that pleases God. It's impossible. I would encourage you on Sunday number 52 to bring whatever it is that you're holding on to that is contrary to the Word of God. Bring it to the altar. Humble yourself before Almighty God and watch the peace of God become real once again in your life. The peace of God. There are requirements, though. It is a walk of peace. But then letter B, not only that, it is a walk of order. It is a walk of order. Notice, if you will, the word rule. As many as walk according to this rule. How many of us just love rules? Amen. When we're kids, oh my goodness, we got the rules this, you know, this long and longer. No, none of us in our flesh like the word rule. The word rule in the Greek means a straight reed, a measuring rod. It means any rule or standard, a principle for judging, living, or acting. Let me submit to you to this thought, and I know it's obvious, but let me just say it. We all live by rules, and we all live by standards. We all live by rules, and we all live by standards. It just depends on where we find those rules and where we find those standards. Everybody in the world lives by rules and standards. Some have a very, very simplified way of living by rules and standards, but they still have a rule and a standard they live by, and most of it is what they determine is right and wrong. That's a rule or a standard. But I don't believe that's what the Apostle Paul is challenging us with as we end 2018, that we're supposed to live by the rule or standard that we feel is best for us to live by. Notice I believe he wants us to live by the rule he wants us to live by, or even the Galatians there, is twofold. Number one, according to the gospel given them. Turn back to chapter number one, Galatians chapter number one. Talking about the walk of order. Number one, by a rule, according to this rule, the rule that Paul wanted them to live according to, and the rule that we need to live our life by is twofold. Number one, according to the gospel given them, Galatians 1 and verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Rule number one, according to the gospel given them, was to live a life that is pleasing only to God. Not worrying or being concerned about if my rule is pleasing to man. And by the way, many times a standard that is biblical will not be pleasing to man. And you know, I'm not trying to stir up the hornet's nest, but sometimes a standard, biblical standard, will not be pleasing to another brother or sister in Christ. But you know what? That is not the determining factor of how I should live my life, of whether a brother or sister in Christ thinks that this standard, or this rule that I'm living by, biblical rule, biblical standard that I'm living by, they don't agree with me. You know what? That's okay. I can give them the grace. I don't have to go on a war against a brother in Christ, but that's not going to change my standard or the rule that I'm living by based on biblical principle. And we need to be very cautious and very careful about that. So it is a rule that he wanted them to live by according to the gospel. And then back to Galatians chapter number 6, secondly, two-part, that I believe here that we find in the book of Galatians that they would live by according to the gospel given them. And then number two, according to glorying in the cross. We read this verse last Sunday, verse 14 of Galatians 6. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So, the rule, by a rule. Number one, according to the gospel given them. Number two, according to glorying in the cross. English evangelist George Whitfield, maybe you've heard the name, learned that it was more important to please God than to please men. knowing that he was doing what was honoring to the Lord, kept him from discouragement. And by the way, that will help us too today. Kept him from discouragement when he was falsely accused by his enemies. At one point in Mr. Whitfield's ministry, he received a vicious letter accusing him of wrongdoing. Here was his reply. Brief and courteous it was. Quote, "I thank you heartily for your letter. As for what you and my other enemies are saying against me, I know worse things about myself than you will ever say about me. With love in Christ, George Whitfield." You know, there's a lot of wisdom there. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you or what anybody says about me. We both know more about ourselves than they do. And I believe that goes right along with what we're talking about here, is that we cannot have a walk set to please anyone other than our Heavenly Father, who knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. A walk of order, one, by a rule. Number two, with God's reward. With God's reward. "And as many as walk according to the rule, this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Peace and mercy could only come by the way of the cross, not through man's efforts to keep the law or by living a good life. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, I read for you, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, peace with God is a gift that came through that cross. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what brought us peace. This quote, "Jesus is no security against life's storms, but he is perfect security in them." Well, I got saved and I thought all my storms were going to go away. No, that's not true, and that'll never be true. I'll tell you what is true. You have someone in the storms now with you. I have someone in the difficult times with me. God hath said, "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee." When we go through times of unexpected physical problem, "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee." When we go through unknown, I mean, here we are, 2019. We don't know where Anchor Baptist Church is going to be meeting a year from now. We don't know. You talk about a little bit unsettled. You talk about an opportunity for a lack of peace. You know what we must do? We must continue to walk by a rule. We must continue as a church to walk by a standard. We must continue to walk by the very words of God. We must continue to pattern the ministry here, glorying after the cross of Christ, giving God the glory. Praise God for what he's done in 2018. We baptized, I looked at my calendar, we baptized on January 7th. That was the first Sunday of the year, by the way. And we're baptizing by God's glory and grace today, the last Sunday of the year, and numerous times in between. I don't know how many, 24 I think so far, and I'm just saying, because to give God the glory for all of it, God knows where Anchor Baptist Church is going to be meeting a year from now. We don't need to necessarily worry about that. We need to live by the rule, by the standard. And what comes with that? A peace of God that passeth all understanding. It comes with God's reward. Boy, I tell you what, reward sounds good to me, doesn't it? Blessings sound good to me. And as we give God the glory and we put him in first place, it is a blessing and it brings a reward. Notice the end of verse 16, we read an interesting phrase, "upon the Israel of God." This is the saved Jews, the Jewish people that were saved. A blessing for all saved Jews that were teaching salvation by grace alone. That's big number one, a condition for peace. Let's get into big number two, the call from Paul. The call from Paul. Look at verse 17. "From henceforth let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Letter A, it is an immediate call. Notice that word, henceforth. Henceforth. It means hereafter or for the future. Basically, he's saying this letter is coming to an end. I'm about to finish this letter to the church at Galatia. And he says here, I think it's interesting what he says here. He says, let no man trouble. That means to bring one something either favorable or unfavorable. In other words, Paul says, if you have any questions about the matter of grace and legalistic living and all of this, he goes, you know what? You don't have to bother me anymore. Let no man henceforth trouble me. In other words, we could say this, what I have written, I have written. It's down there for you. And we know from doing a study on the book of Galatians that the Apostle Paul covered this subject in a very thorough way. This letter from Paul was to be used moving forward as a point of reference for all communication. If a question came up, here we have. We have Paul's writing to the church at Galatia. Here's what Paul says about grace. Here's what Paul says about circumcision. Here's what Paul says about living by a standard. Here's what Paul wrote. We're going to refer to what Paul wrote. It was an immediate call. Letter B, it was an earned call. It was an earned call. Paul had every right to write what he wrote. And he tells us why. Look what it says in verse 17. I bear in my body the marks. Turn over, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Please. I bear in my body the marks. Jew and Gentile alike persecuted the Apostle Paul for the stand that he took. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. Talking about what the whip would have left on his body. Stripes. Persecution. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. By law, they were not allowed to give more than that, and so they would go right up to it. 5 times, 39 stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. You know, all of this stuff that we're reading, you know, a lot of times, especially on a Sunday afternoon at 5:07, we're starting to get a little bit cloudy. It's just natural, 5:07, right? We're a little bit tired. Think about it. Paul went through this, literally went through this for his stand. Maybe there are some in here. I know there are some in here. Maybe not to Paul's degree, but you know of in the countries where some of you are from, Christians that face some of the very same thing that Paul faced. And why did he face it? Simply because he took a stand for the Lord. He took a stand for right. He took a stand for and against error. Against error. For truth, excuse me. And the Bible says, look at his resume. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, robbers, mine own countrymen, the heathen, the city, the wilderness, the sea, false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Just interesting how he words that. All of this that I have gone through, but then also a daily caring for the churches. And as we go back to Galatians chapter 6, he says, I bear in my body the marks. Paul had earned the right to be able to address this letter and this topic. On a wall in Charles Spurgeon's bedroom, he had a plaque with this verse written on it. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. It comes from Isaiah 48 and verse 10. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He wrote, it is no mean thing to be chosen of God. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. Paul, two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul, the greatest missionary. Paul, greatly persecuted. Do you not think they go hand in hand? I think they do. We're not chosen in the palace. We are chosen in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred. Fashion is destroyed. Strength is melted. Glory is consumed. Think about the theme in next year. That's even part of what I've been reading about it and preparing for, that all glory, if you're going to worship God, all glory cannot be. There can be no self-glory. I cannot worship God if I have any thought of glory for me. Fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed. Yet here in the furnace, eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice. I don't know about you, but the furnace of affliction does not sound like a place I want to run into anytime soon. But oh, the blessings that come as God puts us through the furnace of affliction, because everything that we think is important melts away. Think about what we value and what God values. On a human standard, what I value never matches what God values. Because as I'm talking about, you know, let's be real for a minute. I value temporal things in the flesh. I value a hot rod sports car. Not really, but you know, I saw a Corvette today. Man, that guy pulled out on Highway 1, and although I kept ahead of him in my Nissan Sentra. He probably was on the brake the whole time. I don't know. Or she, I don't know. I couldn't tell who was driving. Wasn't looking, but I don't value, I'm talking about Ben Turner, the human, does not value spiritual things. But when I let the Holy Spirit of God fill me, now my whole value system changes. I don't value what I can get my hands on now. I value what I can put ahead for eternity. Oh, yes, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. I'm thankful for that. But oh, may God help me to be willing to allow the furnace of affliction to melt away all of the frivolous desires that I have that are not eternal, but just temporal. Apostle Paul had an immediate call and he had an earned call. We saw, number one, the condition for peace. Number two, we saw the call from Paul. And lastly, number three, in verse 18, we see the communion for the people. The communion for the people. Brethren, isn't that a great word? Just think of that, brethren. The family of God. You're here and you're saved. You are in the family of God. The first word of the last verse of the book of Galatians, brethren, family of God, brothers, sisters, never to be separated by death. We'll be reunited. It's just a temporary goodbye. See you later. The family of God will always be together. I love that word, brethren. Love the song, one of the songs in our hymn book. Brethren, we have met to what? Worship. Brethren, Paul says. Letter A, we see grace from Christ. Grace from Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We are rich in God's grace. Anchor Baptist Church, we may not own a building, we may not own much at all, but we are rich in the grace of God. We have everything that we could ever need or want when we say we have God's grace. What kind of a price tag can we put on it? Oh, it's a great price tag. Cost Jesus Christ everything for us to have that grace. Oh, I'm thankful today that salvation is by grace. I'm thankful today that we can live our life by grace. John Bunyan said this, "Thou Son of the Blessed, what grace was manifest in thy condescension? Grace brought thee down from heaven. Grace stripped thee of thy glory." Think of that. He left heaven's glory. "Grace made thee poor and despicable. Grace made thee bear such burdens of sin." My sin. Your sin. God bore my sin. God bore your sin. His Son Jesus bore those sins by grace. Grace made him bear the burdens of sins, such burdens of sorrows, such burdens of God's curse as are unspeakable. That's the grace of God. And letter B, we see the grace upon you. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with, in those last, next to the last two words, your spirit. You see that? Your spirit. Grace is not only for going to heaven, grace is for daily living. Grace is not only for being absent from the body and present with the Lord, grace is being able to handle life's greatest difficulties. It's grace that helps us through those times. God's saving grace enables me to miss the judgment of God, and God's grace also equips me for my time on this earth. I wonder today, how often do we share this grace with others? I don't think God gave me grace to put in my pocket and just be thankful for grace for me. I believe God has given me and God has given you grace to tell others about God's grace, to share the message of grace with lost people. There's no greater joy than to see someone's face light up when they realize what salvation is all about and they're ready to receive the grace of God upon their life. Folks, this book of Galatians is all about grace, not simply for us to have and put in our pocket, but for us to share.